Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Well, Christina, I'm so excited to have you today on Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
So we spoke earlier, and you mentioned that you live in a place where there's no Lyme whatsoever in Connecticut, right?
About a half hour north of Lyme, Connecticut.
Okay, wonderful. Yep. Yes. And so tell me a little bit, I mean, how did it all begin? I mean, what made you start to wonder that something was going on?
So it was in 2014. The main kind of, you know, symptom that came up for me was, I was doing hand embroidery. So it was fall of 2014. I was pregnant with my youngest, and I was sewing and I started noticing my knuckles really ached, and I was like, well, that's not normal. So that was kind of the first, inkling that something was up. Now looking back, now I know that I had a miscarriage in 2014 in the spring. So I think that was kind of like the traumatic thing for my body. I think I probably had the infection for a long time, and that kind of awakened it. So I kind of had some stomach stuff going on that summer, but it wasn't until fall that I started getting the joint pain. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's common, is that you have, like you're mentioning, that you can have the infection, you may not be symptomatic, and then you have a traumatic event or something that just kind of tips it over, and then All of a sudden everything starts to flare up. Yeah, so that
exactly.
That's very common.
Yeah. So you know, I for a little while I was like, oh, you know, it's probably no big deal. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to mention it to the midwife. So I did. I mentioned it at my next appointment. She was like, well, you know, you're not as young as you were before. This is your fourth child. I mean, I was 28. I wasn't old.
No.
You know, and so, you know, she kind of like was like, you know, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. But it persisted. And then I started getting pain in my hip flexors. And so I mentioned that to her as well. And she was, you know, like, you know, it's probably just the pregnancy, you know. So I said, well, can we do a Lyme test? Because my husband, he was diagnosed in 2002, right after we started dating. He was diagnosed with Lyme. He had Bell's palsy, the whole thing. So I knew some, you know, about it. You know, growing up on the East Coast, that's, you know, part of life is ticks and everything. So she did run a test and it was negative. And so I was like, all right, well, you know, I guess we'll just see how it, you know, progresses. So, you know, I had my daughter in the end of April, 2015, and the pain didn't go away. It started getting worse. So I ended up going to my general practitioner, who I didn't see super often, kind of just when something was up, you know, and she was like, well, I have a low tolerance for testing, but I'll test you for Lyme and I'll, you know, test some other things, some like non-specific autoimmune stuff, rheumatoid factor, surprise, Lyme test came back negative again. and my rheumatoid factor was high. My ANA was, positive. So, you know, she was like, well, it looks like you have rheumatoid arthritis. So, she said, you know, the rheumatologist will call you and schedule an appointment. So in the meantime, I'm waiting because it took forever to hear from them. I did research. I'm a researcher. so I found tart cherry juice and fish oil. So I was taking that, which got the pain down probably like 85%. Like it really worked. I was taking a lot, but it was really working. And then, gosh, rheumatologist appointment. Finally went to the rheumatologist, which was just an awful experience all around. As I'm sure you're not surprised to hear.
Not at all.
Yeah. So, you know, this was doctor number three. So I, you know, I went in, I had my blood work with me. Apparently bringing a folder of your lab work, it, you know, for some doctors, it's intimidating. They don't like that. I didn't know this. So, you know, I explained everything. He kind of looked at my hands a little bit and he was like, well, he's like, I don't think that you have rheumatoid arthritis. He's like, I just think you have generalized anxiety. And he said, you're a young girl. You should enjoy your life and stop worrying about your health.
So your rheumatoid factors are elevated. Your ANA is elevated and it's anxiety.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. That's what I was told. Apparently that's how science works now.
Yeah, exactly. Let's not follow the labs at all.
Yeah. So he kind of, you know, sent me away and I was like, all right, well, we'll just keep plugging along, see how things go. Things did not get better on their own. Things got a lot worse. I ended up probably with over 40 symptoms in total. I mean, everything from insomnia, anxiety, constant pain, migrating all over my body. I had, you know, pins and needles sensations in my legs a lot, shortness of breath. I mean, I wrote down all of my symptoms because sometimes I look back and I'm like, this is how far you've come, you know? I kept digging, trying to figure out what was going on. I was working out, trying to kind of get back. I was a runner before, so I was trying to get back into shape, but I just still had all this pain. So I thought, okay, let's try a naturopath. So go to this naturopath. She tests me. She takes 23 vials of blood.
Did you have anything left?
Test me for like everything under the sun, which is what I needed. You know, I needed somebody to, so, you know, this is what doctor number four. Okay. So, you know, bunch of food sensitivities and stuff. Lyme test was negative. Bartonella test was negative, which is really funny because I definitely have Bartonella. And you know, I stayed off of all these different foods. I took their expensive supplements, and I just got worse. I actually had, it was the week of my 30th birthday. I had what mimicked like a gout attack. I've never had gout. All of a sudden my toe hurt, like it was broken. I was using crutches and after a week it went away. I was fine. So it was another piece to the puzzle, you know? And now I know my body was just going haywire because it was fighting so many different things. But that naturopath, after they couldn't help me, it kind of got to the point where you could tell they didn't know what to do with me. So I was on my own again.
And all those 23 vials of blood, I mean, what came out of that? What did they find?
Inflammation markers were all super, like, insanely high, which I knew because I was going to the gym 4 days a week. I was eating healthy. I was just gaining weight nonstop. And she actually insinuated that I was lying about what I was eating, and that's why I was gaining weight. But yeah, inflammation markers, negative Lyme test. They tested all my hormones. I mean, they tested like everything. I still have, you know, it's like a stack of papers of just from that one time. But yeah, they just weren't able to help me. And so I kind of was like, all right, I'm starting to feel like I'm going crazy. Because people are telling me that I'm not actually sick. So, you know, you start to really think that maybe you're just a hypochondriac. Maybe it is all in your head. I mean, it was really hard. It was, you know, up until 2, 3 a.m. some nights with, you know, all my lab work in front of me from the doctors I'd seen just pouring through it, you know, trying to figure out like links to doing what a doctor should be doing is what I would guess, you know, but, when it's your own health, you know, nobody cares about it more than you do. So, you know, I kept coming back to Lyme. It was just one of those things that just, you know, all the stuff fit, you know, but I saw an ENT because I had throat issues as well that started happening. I felt like I had a lump in my throat all the time. So I went to them. They stuck a camera up my nose, down my throat, nothing. Everything looked fine. Well, I, you know, there's nothing wrong that I can see, you know, just maybe cut back on acidic foods, you know? So I ended up getting into a group on Facebook, actually, that was for women with Lyme disease. You know, at the time, I think there was like 12,000 people. And I think by now it's probably quadrupled at least. And I started learning about it.
In that group?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a big group for a Facebook group. You know, it was a pretty good size. You know, it was a lot of other people that were in the same boat as me. Had all these, you know, non-specific symptoms affecting all different systems. And nobody that was really linking things together. So I'd taken the Dr. Horowitz's, like, questionnaire. He has, like, a questionnaire, you know, and you mark down, you know, points for each thing. And it was extremely likely that I had Lyme. So I'm like, all right, all signs are pointing to this. So I ended up joining that group. Through that group, I met someone who had the information of a Lyme literate doctor who took insurance, which is, you know, almost unheard of. And so I ended up going. They had a cancellation, so I was like, I need to get in and see this doctor. And so it was May 2017. It was on my birthday that year. The cancellation happened to be on my birthday.
Oh, great.
Yep. And I went, and it was the first time somebody had listened to me, you know, and this was 3 years that I had been sick. And she listened to me, and she's like, I believe you. And I just cried, because it's like cathartic almost, you know, like having somebody validate you after all that time of people telling you that it's in your head, you know. So I did get tested through Igenix Lab in California. And that was not cheap. I think it was $1,600 out of pocket.
You do all the different infections, like, and all of that. Yeah.
I exactly. said, I want to do all of it. I need to know what's going on. So it took a while to get the results. I got the results in June 2017. I had tick relapsing fever, Lyme disease, Bartonella, and Babesia. So I had a little bit of everything, is what it felt like, you know. And it was validating, but also, you know, there's a lot of complex emotions, I think, when you get a diagnosis, because there's a lot of like, okay, I wasn't crazy. Here it is on paper. But then there's also, why did I have to go through 3 years of being told that it's in my head to have somebody be able to figure out what's wrong with me, you know? And I know I've met so many people with Lyme. It's such a great community. And I know that 3 years isn't much compared to what some people go through, you know? So I am thankful that I was able to get diagnosed relatively quickly for Lyme. So I did start treatment with antibiotics shortly after that, a couple weeks after that in 2017. I was on Ceftin daily. I started rifampin for the Bartonella, which was rough. And then I did tinidazole on the weekends for to target the cystic form of Lyme. So, I went right into it and had, you know, a pile of supplements. I had my glutathione, I had my lemon water, you know, and I was like, all right, like, I'm ready, let's do this. And, you know, if I'd known how long it was going to take, then, you know, maybe I wouldn't have felt so hopeful, but I'm glad that it went the way it did, because I learned a lot about myself through, you know, years of treatment.
It's hard to know. I mean, you always get excited. Yeah, now we know what it is. Now we're gonna treat it, and now I can get over it. You know, obviously, after gone to 5 other doctors that were not able to be as helpful, and now finally then have a direction. Yeah, it's huge.
Right.
But yeah, understanding that. It's not just take a pill and then be done, you know, when you deal with Lyme.
It would be wonderful. It would be wonderful. It is, you know, it's been a roller coaster. And, you know, even my husband, you know, he had been diagnosed and had acute Lyme, you know, was treated with the 30 days antibiotics, but never quite was the same, you know, had sleeping issues, would get hot easily. You know, his knees would act up, you know, over the years. So he wasn't quite as sick as I was. He has a very good immune system. So he even didn't really quite understand what I was dealing with. So that was where the Lyme community was huge for me. Just making connections with other people who understood what I was going through. I really couldn't have gotten through treatment without that, because that connection is kind of what, you know, like you give each other hope when you feel like you're at the end of your rope, you know what I mean? So I did antibiotics. I ended up doing them for a year, taking, you know, tons of probiotics. I was probably spending $800 a month. And we're a one income family with four kids, you know, it was really rough, but I was like, I'm going to do what I have to do. You know, you just want to feel better. 3 months in, I was like, oh, I'm starting to feel a little better, and got excited. And then it kind of tanked for, it took about 10 months to see any like improvement that wasn't just intermittent. 10 months, it was a lot. And then once I hit a year, my stomach, my body was like, okay, we're done with this. Like,
tapping,
you know,
out.
And yep. And I was like, all right. So I had read so many good things about herbs and how herbs are used. And I had always planned to, like, once I got like symptom free, I'd planned to do herbs for a little while afterwards to kind of make sure we got everything. So I didn't quite get to remission with the antibiotics. So I started seeing an herbalist that was in summer of 2018. So it was just over a year, of when I did the antibiotics. And, so I saw this great herbalist that had been highly recommended by other people, because I mean, you can't with Lyme literate doctors and practitioners, you can't just, you know, look it up like Lyme doctors, you know, you get doctors that aren't Lyme literate, so you kind of have to get it all through word of mouth, you know, and that's where the connections in the Lyme community really help. So I started seeing the herbalist, and I, you know, kind of lived in, there was always anxiety. Even now I still deal with it, of, you know, I'm going to go back to the way I was. I'm going to go back to as sick as I was. And that's so switching from antibiotics to herbs was really scary. But I did do it. My stomach issues got a lot better after that. It just felt like it was time, you know? And so she does traditional Chinese medicine. You know, she does like the Japanese knotweed, cat's claw, all the really popular, herbs that, you know, like the Buna herbs and whatnot. So I treated with her for a couple years. We did have some setbacks here and there. But ultimately, we believe my Lyme is in remission. Babesia as well, tick relapsing fever. The only thing that I'm still dealing with a little bit is the Bartonella, which my current doctor is like, that's common. you know, it's been 5 years and you would think like I'd be 100% better. I'm like 99%, but like I'm right there. So I just took a long break from herbs for a little bit from, you know, treating, to give my body a break, but I have not gone back to being as sick as I was. And, you know, it's been tough because, you know, exercise was a way I dealt with a lot of stress and whatnot, and I couldn't exercise anymore. So, you know, in 2018, I started doing yoga, and I ended up becoming a certified yoga teacher this year. So I've been teaching yoga, since April. And that's been a great way to kind of give back to the community, because I really aim to do yoga for people with chronic illness, with people with pain, people who maybe think they can't do yoga because, you know, they're not in shape or they're sick or whatever. So that's kind of, you know, one of the ways I've been giving back. But I mean, I could spend all day talking about just the battle, you know, and how tough it was at times, but,
5 years, that's a lot.
It is. But yeah. I mean, after, you know, less than a year with my herbalist, I was probably, you know, at 95% better. And it's like been that last 5% that's been kind of the holdout, Which I think is all Bartonella. But like, I don't have the constant pain. I really don't have any constant symptoms anymore. Just occasionally I'll get like a little bit of joint pain. You know, a little bit of, you know, some old issues. But for the most part, like, I'm pretty much symptom free at this point. Sometimes I have to stop and think, like, I've been very busy lately and running from one place to another. And sometimes I just think, like, I can't believe I'm doing this because, you know, doing anything when I was that sick, I mean, there was days where I couldn't get out of bed and I had to homeschool my kids from bed, you know. And I remember my daughter, my oldest, who's 16 now, saying, like, Mom, you're not fun anymore. Like, you used to be fun, you know, and it was tough. But my kids also saw me, you know, never give up and just keep fighting. And so that's kind of been my thing, is like, you know what, this is something that happened to me. It doesn't define me. And yeah, I'm much healthier now. I definitely don't take that health for granted.
No.
But it was a long road, really long road to get here.
Yeah. And that thing, yeah, being, you know, having had Lyme, and, you know, and it's the same when people dealing with cancer. I mean, it's like there's no way of fully knowing. So then it's always there in the back of your mind. Yeah. It is that, well, kind of monkey on your back that you have a hard time getting rid of. But it's like you're saying, the community is so important, you know, because it is so hard to go through these kind of situations on your own, and then to be able to have a support group, and especially then people that have been there, done that, seen that, to be able to say, yes, I see what see what's going on. Yes, I right now you're on the antibiotic, you're herxing, you feel horrible, and you kind of wonder, is this the right road? Am I doing something that's good for me? And then, you know, they can say, yeah, you got to stick with it. It's going to take time. Got to move through it. And just to have somebody being there guiding you along is huge.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I can't even tell you, dozens and dozens of people over the last few years have contacted me. You know, oh, I saw your post in this group, or I saw, I'm sick and I don't know what to do. And, you know, and I do whatever I can to help those people. You know, I find, I get people in like Texas, you know, I'm in Connecticut, like, you know, like I need a Lyme literate doctor. And like, you know, I'm like, all right, I'll put out something to all my, you know, community. And we somehow find somebody that they can go see, you know? So, it's been that for me. That's always how I've been. You know, bad things happen. You know, you get these challenges and these obstacles, but, you know, what you do with things after that is what matters. And I want to take anything that I've gone through and use it to help other people, because I want to be who I needed at that time, you know, and your family can help, and they support you the best they can. You know, there's only so much they can do though, if they've never understood, you know, what it's like to be chronically sick. And just the toll it takes, and then the guilt that you feel because you can't get up and you can't do things, you know. And you know, it's been so long since I've been that sick that you do kind of almost start to forget like how bad it was, you know. And that's why I keep my list of symptoms. It's in my phone, and every once in a while, like if I'm like down on myself or whatever, I just look and I'm like, you know what, like you did this, like you knocked out all this, like 40 plus symptoms, and like they're gone now, you know. And you know, I fought like hell to get here. But I'm really thankful, and I love that I can, you know, share my story and have people, you know, I know there's probably somebody listening who's like, oh my gosh, like this is so much like what I'm going through, you know. And I remember being that person and just seeing people who got to remission and just being like, that's what I aspire to. Like, how did you get there? What are your secrets? You know, because it really is a guessing game with Lyme. I mean, there's no treatment that works 100% for every single person. Everybody's so different. And, you know, I had a myriad of issues because I had not just the infections. I had, you know, Epstein-Barr virus was reactivated. So I had to deal with that. I had acquired hypothyroidism, so I had to deal with that as well. I mean, I had all these vitamin deficiencies and all kinds of issues that I had to kind of in tandem with, you know, treating Lyme. It was a lot. It's a lot. And I had to write out, because I had such bad brain fog, you know, I'd write out all my medications and the times I needed to take them, because you have to stagger, like, you can't take a binder with other meds. You have to take it away from, you know, and, you know, I'd sit there and I'd take my 36 pills or whatever, and I'd fill out my pills for the week. And, you know, and I still take some pills, but they're, you know, vitamins and things that, you know, nothing for, you know, Lyme or Bartonella or anything specifically.
And how long did it take for you to, as you started treatment, before you started recognize, this is helping me?
So with the antibiotics, it took about 10 months to really see a difference, because the herxing was just, especially with the Bartonella, was just so intense that, you know, it's also hard to tell, like, am I herxing? Is it Bartonella? Am I having an Epstein-Barr flare? You know, it's like a guessing game, like whack-a-mole. Like, you don't know which symptom goes to what. And, you know, the thing about, one of the things that's kind of been my mantra through this whole thing is healing isn't linear. So 10 months I started to see lasting, you know, but there was dips there, you know what I mean? It got a little worse for a little bit, but then it got better. And, you know, it's not, we think that once we start treating, it's going to be a, you know, like a gradual incline all the way to remission. And sometimes there's just dips and dives, and just kind of recognizing that, you know, what I'm going through right now doesn't erase the progress I've made. Just, it's just where I'm at right now. We're going to deal with this flare and it's going to get better. So yeah, it took a while to notice lasting, you know, but you know, between the herbs and the antibiotics, I would say it took about a year and a half to 2 years to get about 95% better. And that was every single day taking tinctures 3 times a day, taking pills 3 times, you know, more than 3 times a day. I was like, let's just do this, you know?
You want to move through it. Yeah. You don't, I mean, you dealt with all these symptoms for so long. And then so to feel bad while you're taking supplements, I mean, you already felt bad. And
right.
And you're doing nothing. You've seen what that is. So right. Now you need to do something. And yeah.
It's a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
You're between the rock and the hard place. And you have no choice. You either push forward and you move through it, or you stay stuck. And I was determined. And, you know, not to say that that's the way that it always should be done. There's definitely nothing to gain from herxing all the time, you know? So now where I'm at now, like when I take my herbs, I don't take them every day, but I do, you know, I take my core support stuff and everything. And I just kind of just keep moving forward. You know, it's a marathon. It's definitely not a sprint.
So what were some of the kind of herbal things that you did through this process?
So the first thing I done, because I wasn't able to see my herbalist right away after I stopped the antibiotics. So I had about, I think it was like a month and a half. And so I did take some herbs. I used, I think, Samsara herbs. I bought it on like Amazon. They have pills now, like the caplets, but at the time they had this mix that it tasted like dusty iced tea because it had stevia in it and whatnot. You know, but it had all the, like, the cat's claw, the Japanese knotweed, all different stuff. So I took that for a little bit. When I did see her, she did a core support tincture. I can't remember off the top of my head what was in it. And I have one in there now, but everything, it changed every month, like what she would put in it. And then I had an antimicrobial tincture that had, you know, all the, you know, killer herbs and some dandelion, some things for detox and whatnot. But yeah, most of the herbs were things that are in like the Buhner protocol. But I needed someone to kind of take over the treating, if I could find that. And so I always recommend when people want to do herbs, like herbs are just as powerful as, you know, mainstream medicine. So if you can afford to, like, find an herbalist, somebody who's a clinical herbalist that knows how to treat tick-borne diseases. My herbalist had Lyme disease herself, and so she knew how to treat it, and she had brought many other people to remission. So and it was actually ended up being a lot more inexpensive than treating with antibiotics, because you have to get all these probiotics to counter the antibiotics. It wasn't even the prescriptions that were expensive. It's all the other stuff, you know. But yeah, I don't want to say, like, I wish I had started with herbs, because I just believe that whatever I did got me here, and I don't want to change any of that, because I'm happy to be here. But herbs were really powerful. So, you know, if people are self-treating because they have no option, like, I totally understand. Just take the time to learn about the herbs, because there are herbs that can affect you negatively. And, you know, it's really important to kind of treat them with the respect that you would if you were taking pharmaceuticals, you know.
And what's great with herbs is that they are a complex system. Yeah, antibiotics is just one specific very chemical, and mm-hmm. and this is what they do. So it's kind of like I liken it to a sharpshooter that just kind of shoots in one location. Right. Herbs, they cover such a breadth of impact on the body, just because they are so complex. And they right. have evolved with the pathogens, which means that they have developed a system where they have the intelligence to deal with the pathogens in a much more impactful way. And so that the pathogens can't really adapt or adjust, you know, when you are doing the herbs. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They've been great. It's been... you know, I used to think that herbs were like all this hippie stuff that was not, you know, and then when I got sick, you'll do anything to get better. I would have tried anything if somebody told me it was going to make me better. And so, you know, they made me a believer. It was a lot, it felt a lot gentler on my system. You know, not everybody can do that. And there's a lot of, you know, great medications that they're finding, you know, are working for Lyme and whatnot. So, you know, it's what makes it so hard to treat, is it's so individual. You know, there's people who can't take herbs for whatever reason. And then there's people who can't do, you know, antibiotics or whatever. And so there's, you know, there's no one way to treat. And it's kind of, it's really a guessing game, you know, of trying things. And so I'm thankful that, you know, I have a good support system. I had, you know, my herbalist, and then I have a doctor who is a functional medicine doctor who we pay a lot of money to see, but it's so worth it to have a doctor who listens. You know, he listens to you and validates you, and, you know, and so, you know, it's, I really, my heart goes out to people who have to self-treat. Because me just having to, I mean, I wouldn't have been diagnosed if it wasn't for all my research. That alone was a really lonely journey. So, you know, I'd like to see more people coming out that, you know, practitioners that, you know, can treat it and whatnot, so that, you know, all these people can get the help they need. It's not fair that people can't afford treatment, you know, and I have so many friends who struggled, and you know, we support each other the best we can. But, you know, when you're on an empty tank yourself, it, you know, it can be hard, and it can be hard to keep up the hope when you get like that. You know, I've unfortunately seen, I've had friends who've committed suicide in the community, because of the lack of support. So, that's why I never want to have to see that. So, you know, whenever I can do anything to, even if me doing this podcast helps one person, to me, that's 100% worth it. You know, I don't want people to have to go through what I went through.
No, and that's huge. And that's, I appreciate what you do and what all the, and that seems to be a common theme through Lyme, I wouldn't say Lyme survivors, because, you know, you just live in misery. With Lyme, they don't let you die. They just let you kind of barely live.
It's tough.
Yeah. So for the Lyme conquerors, yeah, you know, they tend to step up and really be there as a support for people, because they know, like you're saying, this is what I would have wanted. This is what I would have needed. And I appreciate what other people have done and said and supported me through this journey. So now I want to pay back, and I I want there to be a solution to this.
Yeah. And I'm a silver linings kind of person. I always have been. I will turn whatever I can into lemonade, you know, like I will do my best. And you know, it, which has been tough because, you know, at times you have to be able to say like, this really sucks. There's no lemonade to be made. But later on, if I can just help somebody else get through it, like that makes it, that to me makes all the pain and difficulties worth it, because you can, if you can just help other people to avoid that. So, you know, because it's also very, you know, people, it's a very invisible illness, you know, it used to be one of those things, you know, people, when they, you know, announce that they have cancer, everybody steps up, as they should. But when, you know, you announce that you're sick with anything that people can't see or people don't, you know, don't really know much about, it's just, you get a lot of pushback on that. You know, you don't get casseroles, you don't get people checking in on you, you know, you get people who get upset because, you know, you never know how you're going to feel. So you can't say, oh yes, I'm going to go to that, and with 100% confidence, because you may wake up that day and not be able to get out of bed. And, you know, I lost friends throughout this because I wasn't as fun. I couldn't make the, you know, the events that they wanted me to. I was in survival mode. And so, you know, I did find, you know, there was some friends that stayed by me and really stuck by me, and, you know, my husband and my family. But that Lyme community is just a lifeline for so many. I mean, it can be really depressing to go into some of these groups because there's so many people who need help. And so my goal has always been to try to just, you know, show them that like there is hope, because sometimes that's all you need is just a little bit of hope to kind of get to the next step, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing how hope really how it really drives you forward when you have nothing else mm-hmm. to hold on to. And especially then also if it's borrowed hope, meaning that you've kind of borrowed that energy from somebody else that's been there. Christina, such a powerful journey. So thank you so much for sharing and for and this is exactly what people need to be able to mm-hmm. push forward and recognize that, yes, I am in the middle of this. There are other people that are exactly or have been exactly where I'm at, and now they do okay. They live a good life. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Information this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.